This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to Road School Moms Radio, where education meets adventure. Your hosts, Kimberly Travaglino of Full Time Families and Mary Beth Goff, the road trip teacher, will share advice, information, and encouragement to bring your road schooling efforts to new levels.
Hello and welcome to another Sunday night with the Road School Moms. I'm one of your hosts, Kimberly Travaglino, full-time RVing mom to four kiddos and co-founder at fulltimefamilies.com, the resource for your full-time family RV adventures and information. And I'm coming to you live from beautiful South Florida, although it's not been so beautiful yet. It hasn't lived up to its name just yet. It's been kind of gray and cloudy, and today it even rained a little. I'm really looking forward to when the actual blue skies come that I know and love so much about South Florida, and the palm trees swaying and all that beautifulness happens so that we can take my kiddos to the pool. We've been having a wonderful road school week here in South Florida. I have to look through my pictures to see what it all we did. It's just become such a blur. I know that the California rally kicked off last Thursday and wrapped up today on Sunday. That 32 wonderful families met together in San Diego for fun and fellowship and all sorts of good times. And we're so thankful for the Wolf family who took on that challenge and made that a reality for so many of our families. And I can't wait to look through the pictures myself. I haven't even had time to do that yet. I've been so busy with what's going on here. We experienced what we call Christmas 2.0, or second Christmas, with Chris's family, because we spent Christmas up north with my family. So we had Christmas 2.0 this weekend with Chris's family, and it was lovely to celebrate with their family. We're feeling very blessed, very thankful to be able to connect with our families across the country as a result of our lifestyle. It's really amazing. You know, Mary Beth and I always talk about how amazing this lifestyle is, but one of the best things is being able to connect with your loved ones and be able to share these times with them no matter where they live. So, you know, even though I have a family in Jersey and Chris's family in Florida, we were able to have Christmas with both. So just another amazing attribute of this lifestyle. And on the front line with me this Sunday night and every Sunday night is my lovely co-host.
Hey, it's Mary Beth Groff, your road trip teacher, also a homeschooling mama to five kiddos on the road. I'm the author and creator over at roadtripteacher.com. We like to chronicle our travels on, I can't even talk this evening. We like to chronicle our travels over at diaryofaroadmom.com. We are coming to you live this evening from Southwest Florida, one of our favorite places on the planet. I'm so excited to be with you from wherever in the world you are, and I'm so excited to hear your voice, Kimberly, because I can tell you are so close to my location.
ditto, Mary Beth, ditto. But have you had nice weather yet? Because I have not experienced nice weather yet.
No, I'm just going to tell you, I really haven't said this to you because I really am happy that you're here, but you've been a complete jinx just from the exact, I'm sorry, hold on one second, from the exact afternoon that you arrived in this state, we have had crummy weather, rainy, chilly. I don't know where you brought it from. I don't want you to take it back, but I'll be glad when it blows through here. Well, you know, there was tornadoes over in Cape Coral last night, a tornado. Did you see that in, like, an E2? It was
I did not
see
that.
There were no fatalities or, yeah, there were no fatalities or injuries, I don't think, anyway. But there was quite a bit of damage.
Oh, that's terrible. Well, no, I did not see that. So, I'm praying for all those people out there. But, I've just been really disappointed in the weather. As I was driving, coming down from the north, waiting anxiously for the sunshine, I would look at everybody's pictures, and I would literally feel the warmth of the sunshine coming out of everyone's pictures. And since I've got here, like you said, that I have not experienced that.
I'm not kidding. It was the exact afternoon that you arrived. I'm not kidding. It was that very day. It was sunny in the morning or that whatever. And then it was like, what happened? So I don't know. Maybe
you're really in town.
You're really in town. She brought all the rainy weather.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, this show, Mary Beth and I are going to be talking about, what are we calling this show, Mary Beth?
We had this big idea, let go, let God, which I know that
right.
That's not a new mantra. We've read it everywhere else. You know, you've read
right.
it several times, but it's our version of let go and, you know, let go and let God lead the way.
Right. Steps for Joyful Living. That's what I was looking for, because I saw that on your on the graphic that you made, and that's what I was looking for. So this is the Steps for Joyful Living, and if you're not living in joy yet, then you're going to want to listen to this next hour and think about and consider and ponder the ideas that Mary Beth and I bring to the radio tonight, because there's a lot of joy to be had out there, and it's not hard to get, right?
It is. You know, it's a lot of, I looked back when I was looking over your show notes and trying to put mine with them. I was thinking about some of the shows that we've done prior that is, you know, in our iTunes podcast library right now about changing your perspective. You know, we've done a show on that, and we've done a show on, you know, how to achieve your goals. We've already done a show on that. But this one's a little different because I really think that, like so many others, you and I both have, you know, you're always searching for peace, right? Peace of some sort. And I just, when I look back, that was the one thing that stuck with me all day was, you know, sometimes you just, you're looking for peace in all the wrong places, right? And
absolutely. That's so true. That is so true. I love looking for peace in all the wrong places. And so we'll begin with saying that this time of year can be confusing and even overwhelming. On the one hand, we feel like we have a totally clean slate and everything is new again and we have unlimited potential to achieve new heights. But on the other hand, we also feel like we failed because the beginning of the new year also marks the end of last year. And so in the world we live in, the commercial marketplace and TV and radio and everyone is all too quick to remind us of the resolutions we made last year that we didn't keep. And we, in fact, fell short of in a big way. Promises to others and to ourselves that have gone unfulfilled and goals that still remain unachieved.
You know, no matter what part of the country that you're located in, the store shelves invariably are replaced with last month's Christmas decor, with all the exercise equipment. I mean, for me, that's just a reminder of the extra pounds that you probably put on during the holidays. You know, everywhere you look, there's ads calling out for you to stop doing something, stop smoking, stop drinking, stop eating unhealthy, get out of debt. You know, in truth, it really is time to start spending more time with your family, serving more in a volunteer capacity, you know, that's on all of our hearts, and feeding our bodies in a healthier manner. However, you know, these lofty goals often provide only a temporary willpower when really long-term grit is what you need. So if you can be honest with yourself and look back last year to see how did you arrive short from the goals that you were at one time at the beginning of the year so encouraged to obtain? And maybe it wasn't a New Year's resolution, but, you know, we all have times during the year when we try to recharge and regroup and we get those new goals. And at the beginning, we're so full of energy and we're full of optimism and, you know, you're going to obtain those goals. And then somewhere you go wrong.
Ah, don't I know it. That is me to a T. In fact, if you listen to any of last year's show, you will know that Mary Beth has on many occasions called me Miss Fitbit, and it has been weeks, and I hate to say it, but even months, that I have not reached 10,000 steps in one single day, not one single day. So I know from not making goals. Another big goal that I had that I did not achieve well last year, but I really feel like I'm making great strides this year, is to stop worrying, right? Worrying, it can be a habit in and of itself. You don't even know that you're doing it. You're constantly looking for what's going to go wrong, how the other shoe's going to drop, you know, all the mitigating circumstances that could go into any event, and just worrying about it. But worrying does not add any time to your life. In fact, it subtracts time that you could be having peace and being joyous. So it was really important for me to try to figure out how to stop worrying. Mary Beth, tell me about some of the times where you have fallen short of your goals.
Well, you know, I alluded to this last week when we talked about, we gave a little insight to some of the things we were going to be talking about this month. And honestly, when I think about this, this really sums it up for me. I really feel like that I let the devil win at his game so many times over the past year because I was derailed from the road that I had set out for myself. It wasn't any great big huge goals or any, you know, I didn't set out to, you know, lose 100 pounds or, you know, go full time, you know, we'd already done. There's so many of these, you know, big monstrous goals. I didn't have anything like that. I just had really hopes of being really intentional with my family and our faith last year. It was something that I thought I was working towards. And when I get to the end of the road at the end of the year, I just look back and I think, wow, I really got off track in a major, major way. And, I really think that's because I lost sight of the goal, and I lost sight of how the I don't want to say the right way to get there, because I don't feel like there's really ever a right or wrong way that you arrive at a destination. But I just think I've taken the long way around, and there really was a shorter way to get there. I just chose to ignore it. I chose to not really see what was in front of me.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, this comes down to one simple thing, just one simple thing in my mind that we're going to explore a lot of tonight when we talk. And the one simple thing is that we cannot achieve any goals, not any of them, on our own. We're not built to achieve any of these goals on our own. Literally, we don't have the tools, we don't have the capacity, we don't have that grit that Mary Beth referred to in the intro. We don't have it. You cannot achieve these goals on your own. And there's only one person or one entity in the world that can help you achieve these goals, and it's God. And through him and with him, you can actually achieve real lasting change and growth in your life. But without him, you're just going to be in 2017 looking at 2016 saying, what happened? What did I just do? In Isaiah 41:10, it says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
You know, it always amazes me how whenever we share a sentiment or we share a thought and, you know, someone always reaches right out. And that happened to you and I, Kimberly, this week on a couple of different occasions with other Road School moms. But I know that you had the opportunity to talk with Margie Lundy. And, you know, she shared a sentiment about this whole thought that really led us to this New Year's resolution, if you want to call it that, for Kimberly and I, for Road School Moms, which really is to let go and let God. And what does that mean? Well, for us, it translates to a call just to let go of everything and let God lead you into the path. For me, I was thinking about this earlier today and trying to really translate what that means, let go and let God. I mean, it's snappy, it's a sassy little saying, but what does it mean? Well, let go is the surrender. It's the surrender and the, you know, that you're going to let go of your worries or let go of your struggles or let go of, you know, whatever it is that you're facing and just surrender it to him. And the let God part is the faith, and that is the faith of, you know, trusting in God and just turning everything over to him. It means instead of worrying day and night about, you know, whatever it is you're struggling with, you just simply say, Lord, this is too much for me. I'm handing it over to you because I know you will sort it out, and I trust you to put me on the path where I need to be.
Exactly. Now, Mary Beth and I are not telling you that you should abandon all your responsibilities and you should rely on God for everything, but God gave us discernment for what that actually means. We know that bills still need to be paid. We know that your family still needs to eat. And it's not likely that God is going to send a check in the mail every month signed, Love God. He will send you something, I promise, but it might not be that check. It doesn't work that way. What it means is that you understand you're not in this alone, right? You're not all alone in this. God is there. He created you for a purpose. He didn't just create you for a purpose and then abandon you and walk away from you. He's created you for a purpose. He's written all of your days out in his book up there, and he is ready to help you get there, just like you're ready to to help your children get to where they need to be in life as a child of God, you have the opportunity for God the Father to lead you where you need to go. You wouldn't just give birth to your child and be like, okay, have at it. Do something good with your life.
Right, right.
Bye. But you do,
right.
And your children do, expect to rely on you, just like we can rely on God. Go ahead, Meredith.
Now, I was just going to say, you hit it on the head, you know, you hit it on the nail, you know, we're a child of God. He knows your name, you know, he knows your intentions. He's already placed dreams in your heart. You know, you know, I think sometimes, or at least for me anyway, it's, you know, you're digging so hard to find what's already right in front of you. You know, you're trying so hard to see through, you know, the great plan instead of just taking it as he gives it to you. Because there's one thing that I think I probably said it last week, and you're probably going to get tired of hearing me say it, but it's just, I really live by this, and that is that God is always on time. He is never late. He is never early. He is always on time. And, you know, that's in his time. That's not in your time. You know, that's his time.
Exactly. Now, the next part is a little harder because it is the obedience to listen to God's direction, which I will share, and as Mary Beth wants to share some of how that has unfolded in our lives lately. But sometimes he leads us into troubled waters, not so that we will drown, but so that we will learn to swim with his current instead of fighting every wave. Once we feel the presence of his power, his hand will guide you safely back to shore across the ocean, or wherever his plan will take you. You have to believe in him enough to let God lead you down the path that he has chosen for you. Our life is not about our choices. It's about the choice, the single choice to follow Jesus. That's really the only choice. You know, you sit there and you go, which color bleach do I want? And not color, but which kind of bleach do I want? And which laundry detergent should I use? And what should we have for dinner, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? We are inundated with choices, choices, choices. But really, there's only one choice, and that is to follow or to not follow. And we sincerely hope you make the choice to follow because it leads to eternal life. All that being said, there's a dog barking.
We couldn't get through a show without a dog barking dog.
No, exactly. That would be crazy. Someone asked me this week, how do you talk to God? Like, how do you do that? Like, is there a number to call? Like, how do you do that? And I said, well, I just talk in my heart to God. And then they said to me, well, how do you know he answers? And I said, well, because the answer is not something I would come up with. In fact, it's something that it's the exact opposite of what I would want to do in a lot of cases. You know, like, oh, no, not that, anything but that. And then I know that it's not me talking to myself, that it's way bigger than that. So how about you, Mary Beth? Do you find that?
I do, but I'm gonna say one thing right here now, and this is something you and I have talked at length about. You know, I know a lot of people feel like that they can have a conversation with God, and I know that even some people hear his voice, they hear that guiding. You know, some people believe it's the Holy Spirit, some people believe it's God talking. You know, for me, I don't get that loud and clear message. A lot of times I think it's my perception of maybe that I'm looking too hard for it, just like I said a few minutes ago. But I think that when you really come to peace with how, you know, with your belief and your faith, and like we're talking about, when you really can let go and surrender it to him, that somehow, somewhere in all of that, you find your answer. You find your answer, not the answer. You know, I think that we spend a lot of time talking to other people, and for me, other road school moms, how do you know this is the right thing and all that. And really, it's just, you have to have that peace within your heart to be able to find it. You know, it's not something that you can really go looking for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one of the things you need is that peace, like you talked about. It's just so important to have that peace. And if you feel like you're not having that peace and you're open to it, then really start intentionally letting go. Just let go. It's going to be okay. It's all going to be okay. Let go and let God. He'll do it. He'll take it. Because no matter what your troubles are or worries, nothing is too big for God to handle. He's given us free will, which we can easily lead us astray. He's done this with hope that you will choose him every moment of every day. Choose him to place your trust in. Choose him to guide you and your family. Choose him to rely on. When you do, you will quickly see that his eternal work is greater than your daily grind.
I love that. Just think, I mean, just really, like, listen to that and take it in. His eternal work is greater than your daily grind. Like, I don't know, something about that today, you actually wrote that to me. And it really resonated with me today. And it was just kind of like a light bulb for me that went off.
Did I really write that? Because I thought you wrote that.
I don't know.
That is wonderful.
Oh, I think you wrote it. I don't know. Maybe one of us wrote it and didn't know, but I'm pretty sure you wrote it to me in an email.
Yeah, actually, so. Yes. Ponder that and dwell on that. I mean, he's got the whole world on his shoulders, and he can handle all of it. He can definitely help you with what you need to do.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. When I look back at the past year, the other thing I think of, and this really doesn't have to do with letting go, but I want to talk about it because it's something I faced for a while. You know, it's no secret that one of my, you know, the favorite season of my life so far has been and still is, you know, raising my kids. I love my family. The truth is I really, you know, I know a lot of people couldn't wait to be done having babies, you know, I can't wait, you know, and that's fine, that, you know, for whoever, that's awesome. I don't, you know, I'm not begrudging or judging anyone. But for me, I really enjoyed those baby years and little years, and I miss them. I mean, my littlest one is, you know, she's definitely not a toddler anymore. She's in that little girl, you know, she's almost out of the little girl stage. And for me, I spend a lot of time looking back instead of looking forward. You know, I spend a lot of time dragging my feet. And when we lived in a house and, you know, before we were living on the road full time, I mean, I saved every single piece of clothing. I was a pack rat for that kind of stuff. And it was because I just didn't want to move on. I mean, I didn't want to lose any memory. I didn't want to, you know, I just wanted to savor every single minute as long as I could. And what that also meant was that at the end of every year, I really had a hard time with the new year. I absolutely love Christmas. It's my favorite time of the year as far as, you know, being with family. And, you know, I love church at that time of year. It's just everything about that time of year for me is magical. But I dread the following week on New Year's. And the reason that is because I start thinking about all the things that are not ever going to be the same. You know, I remember the very year that I knew my oldest was going to be a teenager. I mean, I dreaded every single day getting up to that, instead of looking forward to all the blessings that were coming before me and all of the great things there were to look forward to, all I could focus on was, you know, that I could not let go of, you know, all those wonderful things of the past. And, you know, this is really the first year that I've had the peace in my heart to really look forward and just not, you know, not be sad about the new year.
Well, that's wonderful, Mary Beth. I'm so happy to hear that. You know, while you were saying that, the strangest thought occurred to me. Everyone keeps asking me, how was 2015? How was 2015? I had to tell you, since I was saved and reborn, everything has become an absolute blur. An absolute blur. I couldn't tell you what I did last week, honestly. And, you know, this is how we usually go through the format of the show. What was your road school week like? This is what I did. I couldn't even begin to tell you what I did yesterday. It has just been full steam ahead since this happened.
You've been on a bit of a charge. I'll have to tell you, you've been very productive as far as
yeah.
I know.
It's been crazy. It's been crazy. But to go back to my resolution to stop worrying last year, it's Mary Beth and I say, Doris, when you live by the word of God, life's worries fall away. This is not to say that you won't have future trials. You will. God uses trials to strengthen us, while the devil uses the same trials to test our faith. It is here where obedience becomes the GPS, and a whisper of his holy name will lead you to his direction. Being thankful for darkness in times of hardship will lead to a great heart, grateful heart for the light that shines in the sweetness of a new day. We went to church today, and they talked extensively about this same idea. And it was so funny because Mary Beth and I last week tried to come up with a plan, and I came up with the name Promises. But when I went to go write things. I couldn't figure out anything to write. And so I said to Mary Beth, I can't think of anything to write for that title Promises, but this is what I can think of right now. And it became this that we talked about, this Let Go and Let God, because of how Margie presented to me and how powerful it was when I read it. And so here we are at church, and they're saying the exact same thing, you know, let go and let God, which is no big deal, because that's what you should be doing all the time, and that it's not uncommon for them to talk about that in church. But what they did say was, you know, people say God is my co-pilot or Jesus is my co-pilot. And if you find that to be the case, you should really switch seats. Because Jesus, God, they need to be driving, not tagging along for the ride.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good thought. I really had never thought about it that way. I think sometimes that we are so headstrong, and you know, it's so easy to lose sight. And a lot of it's the world we live in, and we alluded to that at the beginning. You know, it's really, we let so much commercial stuff, I don't know if for the right of another word, get in the way. You know, we are always in a hurry, or not even a hurry, but it's just, you know, everything is a cycle. I mean, we're talking about things on the store shelves. I mean, barely July 4th things are off the shelf, and Halloween is there, and maybe, you know, Halloween is gone, and Christmas is there, and now Christmas is barely gone, and, you know, they've shoved Valentine's Day in our face, or spring, or what, you know, it's just like, nowhere in that time frame does anybody get to just really just rest and just breathe and let, you know, God be your guide, because, you know, it seems like you're always on a track for the next best thing. And sometimes I think that, or at least this is what I feel like right now, for me, that, you know, maybe just taking a step back and seeing what comes your way, you know, maybe by not looking so hard, it'll be easier to see what's ahead.
Absolutely. You know, as Americans and as moms specifically, we're told to, you know, be in control, be in charge, and don't take that from anyone. And, you know, you've got to lead, and you've got to set the pace, and you've got to, you know, we're demanded to be in charge of all these things. When in reality, first of all, we're in charge of nothing, but it doesn't lead to that inner peace that you talked about in the intro. It really doesn't. It leads only to inner strife when you're, as you mentioned in the middle, when you're fighting upstream. You are working against the current to try to accomplish the things that you think that need accomplishing on your own, and you're not, you know, taking the help of God under your consideration. You really think you're all on your own, and you've got to make this happen, and you've got to grin and bear it. And every year you wind up in the same place. You know, by February you're wondering why your resolutions haven't panned out, and the reason is you can't do it alone. That's the bottom line. You're not supposed to do it alone.
No, if it really doesn't. What it means is that you know God needs to be your GPS, and you know, just learn to follow, learn to be obedient, and learn to follow. I seen a graphic today somewhere. It was hard for me not to just really copy it, just flat out copy it. But it said, I have your baggage, follow me. And I was like, that is so simple. And so I loved it. It was awesome.
Oh, I do love that. That is really good. But, you know, again, it is absolutely contrary to what society tells us to do, right? Society tells us. Yeah, just forge ahead. Just forge ahead. Push through. Forge ahead. But,
right,
you know, it's not reasonable. It's really not reasonable. Oh, goodness. So if you are struggling, if you find that you are not achieving the goals that you were looking to achieve, I want you to really just take a long, hard look at your list of resolutions this year, if you even bothered to make one, or consider what your goals for the year are, and consider, first of all, do they give glory to God? If they don't, then take them off the list right away. And if they do, then ask help for achieving them. say, you know, Lord, I need you. I need your help. If this is what you want me to do, then I need your help getting this done. Please lead me each and every step of the way.
Yeah, you know, my grandma on my dad's side was always our, she was only 4'10" or 11 inches tall, but she was very mighty, and she was had a very strong faith that she passed on to all of us. And her thing was, she would always say, "Does, you know, will this matter in 100 years? You know, and I hear her saying that voice to me so many times when I think something's a big deal. And I even catch myself saying it to my kids now. And, you know, just to live by that, you know, you think something's a big deal, but, you know, will it really matter in 100 years? Is it going to change your life? Is it something that you can never take back and that you can't, it's not, there's not very many things that there's not a redo button on. So if it doesn't, if it's not going to affect your life and it's not going to matter in 100 years, then don't dwell on it very long, because it's probably not worth the time and energy that it takes to sort it out.
Ah, that is so true. That is so true. And one of my favorite Blues Traveler songs, 100 Years. Oh, goodness. So what other resolutions do you normally make, Mary Beth? Have you made resolutions in a long time?
I haven't. You know, I don't know if I was really ever a resolution maker. I never was a person to sit down and write a list or I may have had something in my mind like, oh, this year I'm going to, you know, be more organized, or I'm going to, you know, whatever. But I've never really sat down with any kind of a crazy resolution like, you know, I'm going to lose this much weight, or I'm going to, you know, make this much money, or I'm going to, you know, even with when we travel, I mean, you know my story. It wasn't like we ever sat down and said, we're going to full-time travel. You know, we're going to sell our house or get out of a house and, you know, move into an RV and travel the world. That's not how that worked either. I mean, I'm really not that decisive. I mean, you know me pretty well, and I'm not that decisive. I mean, I second guess everything anyway. So for me, if I did make a list of New Year's resolutions, I would probably follow that up by a backup form of list of resolutions in case the first ones didn't work out like I thought they would. So I don't know. It's kind of a hard question for me. I think I have a lot of big ideas, and I think that I put a lot of things in motion. And like I said, I've spent a lot of years dragging my feet into the new year. I was melancholy. I can remember that, whatever that, what is the New Year's song they play on New Year's Eve? I can't think of what the name of it is, but you know. Yes, I hate that song. When I start hearing that, I mean, I cry at a mayonnaise commercial anyway, so, you know, that's no secret either. But when I hear that song, I mean, I just get all teary-eyed, and I think about all the births, everybody, the first thing I do is think about everybody's birthday. And then invariably, you know, as I've gotten older, I also think, well, you know, just like at this time last year, I can tell you what I was doing. I was missing my grandma. This is the first Christmas without my grandma. And, you know, thinking about last year at this time, and I do that too at the end of every year. It's coming clear to me now. My New Year's aren't resolutions; they're full of negativity in the past. Because invariably the other thing I do is I think about, well, I wonder where, instead of saying, oh, I wonder where I'm going to be this year, next year at this time, I think, oh gosh, I wonder where I'm going to be this, you know, where I'll be with this next year at this time. I mean, it's not a positive thing for me. I see it, instead of gaining perspective, I see it as losing, I guess, time. I don't know. It's very strange. This is a big time for reflection for me, to be honest, because I don't really know where it comes from. But that's what it is for me. I mean, New Year's and new beginnings are all fine, but for some reason, the previous year just drags into it for me. I don't know why. It's my nature, I guess.
Okay, so in what way could you let go and let God with what you just told us about?
I don't know. That's a good question. That's a really good question. I think for me, it has more to do with, because I'm very, specifically before the last 2 weeks, I mean, my entire life, even though a majority of my family, I refer to my dad's side of the family because they were more center of my life as far as our faith went. And that's where I, you know, very much of where I get my religious upbringing. But I was never a vocal person. You know, I've always believed in God. I've been saved since I was smaller, you know, was younger. You know, I've always, or at least I've always tried to keep my eyes on God. But I have never been all that vocal about it. And, you know, for me, I have small talks with God. And I'll tell you, you know, just like, you know, a lot of people, and I think this is another place that I, you know, I know that it's easy to go wrong. You know, you look to God always when you're in trouble. It's really easy when you're in trouble to be like, oh, boy, you know, I help me, Lord. I need this. I need that. Show me the way. You know, do whatever it takes, whatever. But, you know, I just think that it's probably for me, this year, being more intentional with the blessings in my life and being thankful for the things I have. And I know that I've been thankful in the past, but I just don't think that I really seen it for what it was. You know, I can be thankful that my oldest is, you know, for me to even say that he's going to be turning 15 makes me, my stomach hurt. But, you know, to look at that as a blessing and not look at it as, you know, and to just look at it for what God has given me in my blessings, and to, you know, just let him turn that in to all the good things that I know is out there instead of looking for the negative in it, because that is what I do. That's my nature, and that's what I do. And so, you know, it's kind of the whole half empty, half full thing. I need to stop looking at my glasses half empty and seeing it as half full, and, you know, let God handle the rest.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, as you were talking, I was thinking, whenever you feel that feeling, that clenching feeling or gut feeling, just go ahead and thank God. Just thank God for what you have, that you feel like you'll be missing out on something if time moves on. Just, you know, just throw that thanks up there and see if that doesn't give you some comfort and peace and let you then move, look forward to the future. Oh, Lord, as far as my let go and let God this year, it's just everything. It's just absolutely everything. You name it. Everything up in here is getting let go. And I am just imploring that God will do his work and do with us as he sees fit and lead us, literally lead us down the road. I couldn't even be more literal if I tried. And guide us, and because that's what this family needs.
Well, like I said before, he knows your name and he knows your needs and way before you do, and so you're already on the road to trusting him. And I'm excited to see what this year has. I'm really excited to see what this year has in store for me and my family. I'm excited to see what it has for you and your family. And I'm excited to see what it has in store for Road School Moms, because we've taken a crazy path to get here. And I don't know. I think there is great things ahead.
Oh, I have no doubt. I have no doubt. You know, Mary Beth and I, you talked about this, and we are absolutely 100% sure that this is what God is calling us to do. And again, I'm sure, because it wasn't the easy thing to do. It was the harder thing to do for us. We've been very comfortable and very happy in our topical secular topics and our you know, advice-driven world. We've been very happy there. But I think God spoke loud and clear and said that we were not maximizing the potential of this show and that we have a lot of work to do. And so if you find us stumbling and if you find us tied up or kind of a little bit of loss, it's the truth. We are really unsure. We've never been in this territory before. We know what we want to accomplish, and we are literally letting go and letting God show us how to accomplish it.
That's right. And having said that, you know, last week, Kimberly and I had done a lot of dish back and forth just talking about where we were going and how we thought we were going to get there. This week, you know, we're kind of have a little bit of a roadmap, if you will, maybe to share with our other Road School Moms of how we plan to get there. And what this year holds for us and this radio show really is in the hands of, well, we all know it's in the hands of God, but it's also in the hands of our Road School Moms, because what we're looking for from you is what you need from us. Because when we talked about this, we really, both of us, Kimberly and I, put this both right back onto what we thought that we could share with our community of Road School Moms that we have come to depend on so very much for all the good things that are happening in our lives. I mean, I know for me, we've talked about it. We, you know, I really look forward to Sunday nights to connect with all of you, and it keeps me going, and we want to do the same for you. So if you have struggles or if you have celebrations, we want to hear them. We're going to do some shows all about Road School. I mean, we, you know, we're not abandoning what we're about. We're just, you know, we're redefining who we are and how we're going to get there. And we've got a lot of good shows coming up, and we want to share them with you.
Absolutely. And earlier this week, I put out on our Road School Moms group to tell us what you need help with. Absolutely, to tell us what it is that is on your heart right now, what you want to celebrate, as Mary Beth said, because we're here for all of it. And I'll just read off a few of those. And you can put anything, absolutely anything, on this list. There's no guidelines or rules about what you put on this list. So Laura Davis says, I would love to see how people incorporate local attractions, especially free ones, into their educational plans. Well, Laura Davis, you are absolutely at the right place, because when Mary Beth Goff is not on Road School Moms on Sunday nights, she's creating curriculum that will allow you to do exactly that, incorporate educational aspects of the attractions surrounding you. Currently, they're a little bigger than local attractions, but you can take all the same principles that Mary Beth has in her Road Trip Teacher Study Guides and use them in your local area. And then Laura Becker answers her, which is lovely. Susan Davis says, I'd be the one struggling to get out of bed in the morning, being single mom of six, homeschooling, and now traveling full-time. I'm at my wit's end most days and just struggling to get up. Susan, we hear you. Oh, my gosh, that's a hard one. Do you want to give some encouraging words to Susan, Mary Beth?
I don't know that I'm the right one to talk about getting up and getting at it, because I'll tell you that the last couple of weeks have been hard for me. I know I sound like a real whiner tonight, but I'm trudging through the last couple of weeks. I mean, I'm looking forward to what's ahead and all, but it's been a rough year. So I get you. And I guess that my greatest advice to you is just to not be so hard on yourself, because I think as Road School Moms, especially, and if you're a single mom, I know for me, I'm not, you know, as I alluded to last week, I'm with my kiddos by myself a majority of the time now, and it's hard. It's hard not to have another adult in your midst. Just really to make sure you're not crazy sometimes. I know I had this conversation with myself when I was, you know, the last big trip I took before we got here. I don't know how far it was. It was almost 2,000 miles, I think, I came by myself. And I remember having a talk with myself. Like, I literally pulled over at a rest area, and I made the kids stay in the RV, and I just had to get out and just to really talk to myself about what I, you know, what it was all about, whether I should stop and boondock at a, you know, a truck stop, or where I really wanted to talk to someone. I wanted to talk to another adult, and I did not have that person in the RV with me. And honestly, it's funny because I just realized this. I ended up talking to God out there in the dark, in the rest area. You know, what in the world am I supposed to do? You know, I don't know whether to stop. If I stop, I'm not going to be as far as I need to go. If I don't need to get as far as I need to go, then I'm not going to get there on time, blah, 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 blah. And I just think, you know, when you're a single mama of, whether you're a single mama of one kid or six, oh, my goodness, that's even more than I have on my plate. And that is a scary responsibility. And, you know, you just have to have the confidence in yourself that it's going to be okay. And, you know, you have a good guide in the Lord above, and, you know, believe in yourself and believe you can do it. And, you know, at the same time, don't be so hard on yourself, because you've got this. And if, you know, if this Monday morning you have to sleep in a little bit later and breakfast becomes lunch and, you know, your Rose School is just a big family read aloud or a movie on Netflix, then so be it. Because if it's, you know, is it really going to matter in 100 years? Probably not. That's my answer.
I love that. I really love that. Manny Spencer says, I've really been thinking hard about this. I've been pondering it since you posted it, so here is what I have. Her number one problem is planning. How do you find the time to plan everything out? Well, here's how we do that. We don't.
There's a little bit of honesty for you. Isn't that the truth? Yeah. That is so true.
No more number one problems. Isn't that lovely? You can just get rid of that problem right off the bat. I don't even, just don't plan anything. Number two, local resources. How do you find the best local attractions before getting to the next location? And how do you incorporate them? So far, we just wing it. Well, you're a woman after Mary Beth's heart because she has been on the wing it plan for as long as I've known her. So you're doing just great. But I'd like to be able to pre-learn before we arrive, not just say, hey, let's go do. Okay. So I'll take this one because what I do is as we are driving into a location, I have my eyes peeled for those brown signs. If you're traveling, you know that those brown signs mean some sort of attraction. And so as I see the brown signs coming up, whether it says, you know, Museum of History or World's Tank Museum or whatever the heck it says, I Google it right then and there, and I make a list. And what I found is that I make a list of about 7 things that I want to look more deeply into. And before the 24 hours has gone by, I look into each of those 7 things. And, you know, if you get more than 7 things, you might set yourself up for failure, depending on how long you're in the area. But usually I look at the 7 things and then I whittle it down to 4 things and I leave 3 things for the next time we come back, whether we come back or not. And those 4 things I really do look more into, and I love YouTube videos. I like YouTube videos to see what the attractions will look like ahead of time, and I also like YouTube videos to use as teaching for the kids because it's really easy. They get a lot out of those videos. So when we were going to Salem to learn about the witch trials, I just Googled Salem witch trials for kids YouTube videos, and up came one. I chose one that was less than 10 minutes long. They watched it, and then we went on a tour. We just happened to do a tour of that area and learn more. And so they had that foundation of knowledge, which is really important to me, too, to go off of before we got there. And that helped a lot. And then on the way home, we discussed what we thought about what we just experienced, and kind of seals it in. And then as it comes up in future travels, you know, hey, oh, look, this place had witch trials too, just like Salem did. Remember when we were at Salem, blah, 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 blah. And so we just try to reinforce the things that we've learned along the way, because as we all know, history repeats itself. And that's not just euphemism, that is the truth. History repeats itself all around this country. So when you're at a place, you can very easily refer to another place that either happened before, after, or during, and say, oh, during the Civil War, this place was being built. Or during the, you know, Revolutionary War, this over here, this was happening. And you can just constantly reinforce what it was, those experiences you had, and really give your kids that overall sense of how this country was developed and what things took place. And also, this all comes with time. I know the sensors have been on the road for, I don't know, maybe 8-9 months right now, and I know it's been a little more difficult for them to find their groove as it was for me. And but this all comes, this being able to whittle down the list of 4 things and not feel like you're missing anything, and being able to feel good about taking shortcuts to building up this information. Now, if you're going to go to someplace like a big place, like Mount Rushmore, or you're going to go to San Francisco, then I, again, strongly urge you to look at Mary Beth's website, which is theroadtripteacher.com, because there you will find these immediately downloadable print-on-demand study guides. That will give you that same foundation knowledge, because this is exactly how Mary Beth came to that. Right, Mary Beth?
It is. It's exactly how I came to this, because I felt the same way as Mandy did, and I was always so lost. I wanted to find, you know, information before we got there. I didn't want to wait until we got there, and that's really how Road Trip Teacher came to be, because it was out of a need for me, for my own kiddos on the road and what I wanted them to learn. And after I spent so much time collecting the information and putting it together for them, I wanted to share it. And so that's where, that's how Road Trip Teacher was created. One thing I do want to mention while we're talking about this, and, Kimberly and I are working right now on a series. It's called This Is How We Road School. And currently there's two parts to it, but I really see this becoming a little bit of a bigger series just because there are so many facets of it. And not that Kimberly and I have it all worked out or we're all successful. I just really want to open the door to share with, our other road school moms how it is, this is how we road school. And, Kimberly road school is a little bit different. So we're going to, we're going to incorporate both of our styles as far as this is how we road school and just share it with others. And I'm really intrigued and excited to see what that brings to the table, because I'm sure with that we'll get, a lot of other moms that will share theirs. And the biggest thing to know is the biggest rule of road school is there are no rules. There are no rules. There are no parameters. Unfortunately, there's not the big how-to guide, because it really does rest with your own kiddos. No one knows your kids better than you do, Mama, and you're the best teacher for them. So we're gonna show you a little bit on the inside of our world. I think that show starts 3 weeks from tonight. We'll be the first in that series, and we're gonna show you, Mandy, how we road school, and we're anxious to see how you do as well. Laura, right? Laura Becker Sherman writes, "Our children struggle with constantly leaving people behind as we move forward to see new places. And I struggle with their struggles. Oh, don't I feel you, Laura. I hope someday to hook up with other road schooling families and connect along the road at various spots. It seems that Laura's new, though, and she says they're still figuring everything out." Well, I'm going to let you take this in a second, Kimberly, but I know for me this was the biggest struggle that we had, when we started out. Mostly because my kiddos had been in public school, and so they were missing their friends from home in the first place. And we had been on the road very long when we finally realized that at some point my kids were like, "Are we full-time traveling?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I guess we are," And it wasn't long after that we met up with you, Kimberly, and down in the Keys at Thanksgiving, and, right out of the gate, my kiddos made fast friends with Kimberly's kiddos, and that was the first family that we really missed, and it wasn't long after that that we met the Williams, and then we were separated with them after we were with them for a month or two, off and on. We were separated from them, and it is a hard thing to crack when your kiddos are sad. It makes you sad. When they, like Laura said, when you struggle, when they struggle, you struggle. But luckily, KT over here has spent her whole time on the road developing full-time family, so I'm going to let you take it from there, Kimberly, and talk a little bit about how, easy it can be to connect with other families in various spots around the country.
Yeah, absolutely. Laura, that is something that my children also struggled with when we started on the road, and, to a certain extent still do to this day. If we're going to be totally honest, Tonya would much rather be parked next to some good girlfriends of hers, and we're not right now. Well, actually, we are. That's not true. I'm sorry. That's not true at all. But there was a time where we were not parked by some good girlfriends of hers, and she was very lonely. I can't stress enough how important it is to go get yourself, to make it a priority to get yourself to a rally. Now, I happen to love rallies. I think they're the best thing since sliced bread. And I know that it might seem daunting to you or scary to be the only new person. I'm going to let you in on a secret. Every rally has like 80% new people, 20% recurring ralliers. So everyone's new for the most part. And the recurring people are really there reconnecting with their friends over and over again, but willing to make new friends. It's not clicky. It's not scary. It's not anything. It's just a lot of fun. And what I see over and over again from families that attend those rallies is that they make fast friends. They really have that opportunity to connect with one another in a safe environment. We play lots of fun, silly games. We help people make these really cherished memories. That they feel comfortable in saying, "Hey, we're going west. You want to go west with us?" And a lot of families leave the rallies together. It's kind of like speed dating for families, and it's a lot of fun. And I find that it gives, right? Isn't it not?
That is so funny. That is exactly what it is. Because you get there and you, I know for me, I don't care how many rallies I've been to. When you leave, I always think, wow, we've only been here for 4 or 5 days. And you feel like you've known them all this long time and all, you know, your fast friends. That is hilarious. That's perfect.
Yeah. And, you know, that really helps with the kids a lot because when they, you know, first of all, they meet other kids who are in the same situation. And so right away, they've got something in common. And they can really understand and appreciate the time that they have together, even though they're just kids. They really get it. And then after that, there's a lot of contact that happens, you know, via phone or email or even pen pals, what have you. And then that continues, too, and they meet up at other rallies and they do meetups across the country. So the rally is like a really great center place where all new people can go and all be on equal footing and all leave with good friends. So it's so that I encourage you to look into that. And in the meantime, just let them know that, you know, there will be friends. You will find friends down the road.
Yep. Do we have time for one more, KT? We've got Lydia Farrell says, how do you get those road schoolers going in the AM? She says it is such a battle in her rig. They wake up, they chill a little bit, get breakfast and watch Netflix for a few episodes of Curious George or whatever, and then she gets them dressed to start school, and at that very instance, they melt, they get grumpy, and they whine, and it doesn't sound like they're having a very good morning. And the one thing I can say about this, and then I'll let you add, KT, what you want to it. For us, I read this, and this is something that really resonated with me. I read this several months ago. Whatever the first thing you do in the morning is how the rest of your day is going to work out. Therefore, if you get up in the morning and you switch the TV on, you're probably going to have a hard time getting it switched off and getting their mind regrouped, you know, into something else. And Vanessa Russell actually came on and answered Lydia, which was awesome, in this chat that says, TV in the morning was terrible for us. It made my daughter so angry. When I had to turn it off. Now we attempt to ease into a homeschool review or discussion while we eat breakfast and then get into, you know, road school a little deeper after that. Sometimes we even get up and take a bike ride and then have breakfast. That's an awesome response. I'll have to say that for us, it's the same way. If we get up basically and get started on the right foot, and by the right foot, I don't mean, you know, that you have to get up and do, you know, calisthenics or anything to get up and get going. But just if you can wake up with the right attitude and, you know, go outside and get some fresh air or, you know, have a discussion or maybe do a read aloud or maybe that's the time that you set aside to do devotions or maybe you want to pray together or, you know, or maybe you just want to eat together or whatever. I just think that being together is definitely an ingredient. And I think the other ingredient is that it has to be something that you are unplugged with to really get your day off on the right foot. What do you think, KT?
Yeah, I second everything you just said. I just want to add that, you know, sometimes you need a little bit of motivation yourself to get through these harder things. And she's telling us that they melt down and get grumpy and they whine. And what I'm going to say to you, Lydia, is I want you to pretend that that will only happen for 7 days. If you are consistent for the next seven days, on the eighth day, they will not do that. Let's just pretend that that's the case. Would you be able to make it through those 7 days? Because chances are, if you can show that you're being consistent and in anything, in whatever it is, then it really will only last a week of testing before you can actually accomplish and move forward with what you want. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, and that's very true. That's very true. I know you have a big thing about the whole 7 day thing, and you're very accurate. You know, because really they're looking to you. You know, I don't care how
right.
old they are, whether they're 2 or 12 or 17, you know, they're going to look to you, mom, to, you know, show them the way. And really the best thing you can do is lead by example. So if you get up with a smile on your face and, you know, maybe some people need to get up and get dressed and have, you know, brush your teeth and do everything and then to completely get ready. I'm not saying that you need to do that. I'm saying lead by example. You know, whatever it is it takes for you to get off on the right foot with your day, you do that. And they will soon follow just like little ducklings in a row, I'm sure.
Absolutely. And, you know, if they get really out of control, just, again, let go and let God send up a little prayer. Ask God for some strength and perseverance and try again. That's all you can do.
Tomorrow's another day, right?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Speaking of tomorrow, you go ahead, because I know what you're going to say. Speaking of tomorrow, tomorrow marks literally like 1 month, right, that we're away from the next big FTF rally in February. I'm so excited.
That is true, and that's not what at all what I was going to say, but thank you for bringing that to my attention. I'm not feeling the least.
Time's ticking.
I was going to say, speaking of tomorrow, next Sunday night, we will be speaking with, I don't want to say her name wrong, so let me look it up, Leah Johnson, CPA, and she will be telling us all about road schooling and taxes. And, you know, taxes are in the Bible there, Mary Beth. Tells you all of, right?
Yeah, I guess. Taxes, yuck. Are we really going to talk about taxes? And we're going to be happy about it? Okay. I'll work on that for 7 days. I'm going to work on that for 7 days, and maybe by next Sunday I'll be good with it.
Well, just look forward to all the wonderful information that Leah is going to share with you. In fact, she might even share information that helps you save some money on your taxes this year. Wouldn't that be wonderful, Mary Beth?
Ooh, yeah, that would be wonderful. We're looking forward to it.
Absolutely.
Tackle your taxes.
So tune in next Sunday night, the 17th, January 17th, to connect with us and Leah Johnson, CPA, about taxes and the road schooling family, so that you can learn about that. And then the 24th and 31st, is that how we road school?
I think that we have on the 4th, we're going to talk about changing your journey with just one turn. That is on the 24th. And then on the 31st is, yes, the very first in our what's now our two-part series, This is How We Road School.
Awesome. Until then, that's all I've got.
All right. Well, then we will be back here same time, same place next Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, just like always, from wherever in the world you are. And until then, God bless and safe travels.
This is Kimberly.
And this is Mary Beth, your Road School Moms, on the road where education meets adventure. Until next time, we wish you safe travels and leave you with our traveler's prayer. Lord, be our guide and protector. Let those I encounter be blessed by my words. Let my hands be filled with your work, and may I be filled with your grace and kind words for others. May I be a light unto those around me on the journey ahead. Amen.
Amen. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. If you'd like more information, go to roadschoolmoms.com.